as brambles show up in a drunken man's hand, a fool may be speaking a parable grand, an archer who pierces all manner of things will hire but a fool or a man who has wings. That was Proverbs 26, verses 9 and 10 from 2004, the Word Green version. That's our daily proverb for today. Little children, returning to our article now, we were in chapter 11 of Trojan War, having completed paragraph 3. I mean, the idea was that 5,700 looks like it's... What were we saying there? Let me just see. Yeah, if 5,700 were the calibrated number, it would be, since it's less than 5,990, which was the equivalent of 5,000, according to Mr. Whitelaw. So it's not just calibration, but also Mr. Whitelaw's correction, which is an additional calibration, or it's, let's just call it a correction to distinguish it from the calibration. The calibration raises the number, whereas Mr. Whitelaw's correction lowers it. So there are two different corrections. But the 5,700, it, since it's less than 5,990, and 5,990 is the... It gets corrected to 5,000 by Mr. Whitelaw. So 5,700 is less than that, so it would be less than 5,000 years before present. And that's just not... To look at the table here, uncorrected before present, 5,990 equals 5,000, corrected about the time of the deluge, okay, from chapter 10. And so, since that doesn't seem quite right, it seems more reasonable to assume that the 5,700 was uncalibrated, because that's the normal way also of presenting the data, is as uncalibrated numbers. It's typically done as uncalibrated. If it's not stated as calibrated, then it's assumed to be uncalibrated. So 5,700. But I didn't know, I didn't, at the time I did this article, I didn't want to presume anything. So I tried both ways. And the second way is what we're going to consider now, which was to first calibrate the 5,700. And that results in raising it, okay, to 6,485, as I first found out. And after I did that, the website that was offering that calibration stopped providing the same range of calibration, so I had to switch websites. But I made a graph from the first website while I had that data. I'd already made this graph, which was figure 11.1 in our article. And I think I showed you this yesterday. Yeah, but I understand it and remember it better now. It was 8 or 9 years ago. So, you know, to get back into it, I understand what the limits are now. The limit, Whitelaw's limit, was talking about this, where the graph stops being linear. So Whitelaw's curve, you can call a straight line a curve, by the way. It can be called a curve, but it's just it's also a straight line. So straight lines are also called curves, but this curve is a straight line, or a linear relationship. Linear after line, right? So it's a linear graph, and then it becomes nonlinear near the time of the deluge, is where it becomes nonlinear. Okay, so this is really curious, because we're not going to use the the linear part. We're interested in, well, except for near the time of the deluge, we're not going to use any of the corrections of Mr. Whitelaw except near the time of the deluge. But when we expand this graph, we see that the orange line came from 6485, so that's 6485 vertical, and then it intersected with Mr. Whitelaw's graph, since 6485 is before the deluge. It intersects Mr. Whitelaw's curve on the nonlinear part, right? It's on the nonlinear part where it's already curved over and starts to become a curve which asymptotically approaches 7,000. This is Mr. Whitelaw's limit with 7,000. That was his limit, okay? But let's see where these things come about. The 6485 going vertically intersects with Mr. Whitelaw's curve right at 5410 here. That's where the two intersect. So that's where the 5410 came about. And that number has no meaning for us. Why? Because... Well, what did we do here? Why is this... Why did I show that? 52. This is curious. Isn't this curious? I'm not sure. I would have thought that it would have been... Where this now calibrated 6485 intersected with Mr. Whitelaw's graph, that was the area of interest, but that's not what I drew here. I'm trying to understand why I drew it this way. Anyway, with the number I got, 5295, I'm not sure why. Wait a minute, because why? Oh, this is the linear curve. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, this is where the curve bends over. Yeah, right. So this is where it intersects... It looks like this is the linear curve part of it because of the way it, I'm not sure if this dotted line is the curve or the linear part. See, if this is the linear part, it doesn't intersect that. It intersects the curve part that starts to roll over here. That's why it's 5295. Okay, but we'll, you know, I'm sure we'll be coming back to this as we continue to study it in our discussion here. So more recently, we adjusted our assumption that the 5700 was calibrated, and we assumed it was raw or uncalibrated, like in the acronym at the beginning of the chapter. Radiocarbon arc wood is an acronym that spells raw. So we're assuming it was a raw age, 5700 before present. With present being always assumed to be 1950 for radiocarbon. That's the standard. Okay, so we searched Mr. Wyatt's website to find out whether we could see if he had said it was uncalibrated, but we didn't find it, so we decided to model it, and we produced that graph I just showed you. Now, Fairbanks allowed us to get a calibration of 6485, which I just explained. Right, so I arrived at that graph using that previous number, 6485, but now we're going to do calculations using the other new number that I got after that other website stopped permitting calibrations for ages as old as that. And I switched over to Stuever and Reimer from Queen's Belfast and got, after calibrating 5,700 plus or minus 100, I got a mean value of 4,539 BCE. When you add 1949, because there's no zero year, probably I should have just added 1950, because I'm not sure if anybody else worries about that 1 year, but I got 6,488, so before present, instead of 6,485, just a slight 3 year difference there. Now let's do a linear interpolation here. This is where we didn't do this on the graph, but this is how we can use that table that Mr. Whitelaw gave. We can do a linear interpolation, what's called linear interpolation, which is to say how far are we from the one point relative to the total difference between the two points, 8860 and 5990. Those were two of the tabulated columns. We need to verify. Yeah, 5990, the next row has 8860. So we're just using that table to do this interpolation, but we're not all the way, you see, as far as 8860. We're only at 6488. So 6488 minus 5990 divided by the difference 8860 minus 5990, and then multiply it times 500 years. And why times 500? Well, because the difference was 500 years between 5990 and 8860 in the corrected numbers, 5 to 5,000. To get a 500-year difference in the corrected number, you had to go a difference of 8860 minus 5990. So I just took the difference, multiplied it by our new difference for our actual 6488 number. So you see, we're comparing 6488 with 8860 and saying, well, it's obviously not as far away from 5990. So we divide one by the other, multiply times 500, and we get that, 86.8 years. I haven't verified that recently, but I guess I can do it. Let me just do it. Let's just... I don't want to pull up the calculator for that, because I've got the calculator already doing something else that I want to show you. So 6488 minus 5990 divided by 8860 in brackets. Should be in brackets. Right, minus 5990 end bracket times 500. 86.76, so that's the same answer, 86.8. Right, and when we add that to the 5,000, because we were between the 5,000 and the 5,500, and the amount that we need to go was 86.8 away, higher than 5,000, that's what this calculation was showing. 8860 corresponded to 5,500 and 5,990 corresponded to 500. So by doing this calculation, we found the difference above 500, which was 86.8. So we add that to, sorry, the difference above 5,000. 5,500 compared to 5,000 for 8860 compared to 5,990. 8860 was 5,500 when it was corrected, and 5,990 was 5,000 when it was corrected. So this is the amount we need to add to 5,000, since we're only 6,488 and not all the way as high as 8,860. So we added 86.8 to 5,000, we got 5,086.8. But now we need to do another, to be accurate, we need to estimate it from the other direction. From the low side, also, if we want to get a more accurate estimate here, 5350 equals 4500. That's the next row entry of Mr. Whitelaw's correction table. So 6488 minus 5990 divided by 5990 minus 5350. Times 500. That's interesting, isn't it? So in other words, the amount that the table is changing on the uncorrected side was 8860 minus 5990, and it was 5990 minus 5350 on the other side, on the low side. What's the difference there? 640 here in this case, and the difference here is, looks like 870 or something to get. No, sorry, it's way more than that. It's you're talking about 2,000, 3,000, almost 3,000 difference between 8860 and 5990, right? It's, you know, 2,000. 870 or something like that, I think. I think that's right. 2,870 is the difference, whereas the difference here is only 640 on the low side. So you see that it changes. It changed much more radically between 5,000 and 5,500. In the uncorrected numbers, there's a much bigger increase than between 4,500 and 5,000, which was after the deluge. Since that's the years before present, and they count backwards as you go forward in time, right? 4,500 is closer to the present day than 5,000 is. But as we got after the flood, 4,500 was after the flood. And as we got after the flood, this rate of change or difference slowed down, so there was only... the difference between these two numbers, even though there's 500 difference each time here, each unit on the left column is 500 different, but each number here, in this case, there was a much bigger difference before the deluge at 8860 between that number and 5990 than there was between the lower numbers 5990 and 5350, right? Way different, which shows that there was, in Mr. Whitelaw's opinion, there were big changes happening during the time of the deluge. There were effects, transient effects, or things that were temporary effects that happened because of the massive event of the deluge. So, on the low side, we got 6488 minus 15. Let me do that. Okay, divided by 5990 minus 5350. Right. Times 500. I got 389.06. Well, that's rounded off to 3, that's correct, 389.1. So we add the 389 in that case to the 5990. If it were changing at the same rate as on the low side, we'd get for a difference of that much away from 5990, because that's a bigger difference now compared to the difference between 5990 and 5350, right? I mean, the difference between 6488 compared to 5990 is a much larger fraction or difference, you know, ratio, compared to this smaller difference, right, that we're comparing it with by dividing here. There's only 640 years difference we're dividing by, whereas up here we had to divide by 2870 which was, you know, obviously it looked like a lot less change. So that we're now getting 389 years is what appears to be the number we have to add to 5,000 to compare it, when we compared it with the low side. So we got 5389 on the low side, 5086 on the high side comparison. We take an average because we don't know which is correct, right? So we average the two. We get 5238 before present calibrated, and so the wood is cut 7 years before 5231. Since the years count backwards when you're talking about years before present. So 5231, you count backwards in time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 is 7. 7 years earlier was 5238. So that meant before the present 5238, when the wood was cut, if that's, we just got the value, what we just calculated was the corrected value using our calibrated 6488 for the arc wood. This was wood used to build Noah's Ark. So this wood was cut 7 years before the deluge in our chronology, based on the radiocarbon dating. I don't know if we can really be that accurate. Obviously, it doesn't seem likely that we could be that accurate. But that's what we got, 7 years, and this is done without a graph or anything. We can just do this calculation using interpolation. That's what it's called. We're interpolating because we have the numbers on both sides that we can interpolate from, right? In fact, we could have just interpolated from one side, and it would have been accurate if it were a linear graph, but it's not linear on both sides, right? Or like before and after the deluge, it's not linear on both of those sides. So we have to do it from both sides if we want to get any comparison of what it might differ by on the using the two sides to do the interpolation. So then that's what we did. We did the two interpolations, and when we averaged the two, we got wood that looks like it was cut. In other words, it stopped growing and stopped exchanging, you know, air, or stopped exchanging the atmospheric air at the time it was cut, right around 7 years before the time of the deluge in our chronology, which is 5231 before present calibrated. 3282 BCE is 5231, as we've already shown, in terms of before present. In other words, before 1950, that's what it was. It's 5,232 years before 1950. If we subtract 1950, that's about 2,000 from this, we get about 3,231, as you can see, right? We had another 50. Do we subtract 1950 to get 5,231? Is that right? Yeah, we subtract 2,000, but then it's actually only 1950 that we're subtracting, so we add 50 because we should. We subtract 2,000 and add 50 is the same as subtracting 1950, so subtract 2,000 to get 3,231 and add 50 to get 3,281, and the extra year to get 3,282 is because of the fact there's no zero year. So it's actually 3,282 BCE. And that's what we should stop. That's where we should stop for today. We'll do the second order calibration tomorrow, I think, or the next time. And for now, I want to show you this other calculation. This is what, there's a gentleman called Mr. Baumgartner who wrote an article here that I was talking about yesterday. And he shows this, there's this calculation you can do, which shows that for 40,000 years before the present, you get this, you use this calculation, it's 100, I can't show it here, let's see, there we go, here it is. It's 100 times 2 to the minus t over 5730, so that's what I've got, 100 times 2 to the minus 40,000 years divided by 5730 years, which is the half-life of radiocarbon, carbon-14. The answer is 0.79, and just like he showed here, 0.79 for T equals 40,000. I'm just demonstrating that the formula he used is it works the way he says it does. Okay, so, but the thing is, this is not linear. This is exponential, it's called, right? 2 to the power of the number of years divided by the radiocarbon half-life. That's a very exponential, you know, it's a very rapidly changing thing. As T changes, it changes exponentially. So when you use that relationship, which is what is used, you know, to calculate the radiocarbon age, and the answer 0.79 was actually percent modern carbon. So 0.79% modern carbon corresponds to 40,000 years old, but it's not linear. So that means 0.001% modern carbon is only 95,000 years. In other words, the less carbon, the older it is. But that's way less, right? That's 1/790th of the other 0.79. That's, and yet, so you'd think it would be much older, but it's an exponential relationship, and the difference is only between 40,000 and 95,000. But the other thing is, sorry if I'm yelling, the other thing is that the 95,000 is never seen in nature. There's never anything found that's found to be that low in radiocarbon as 0.001% modern carbon. So that's illustrated by his graph after he tabulates everything here. Let's see. This graph here, he shows the carbon-14 ratios measured in the biological, this must be a period of chronological time, Phanerozoic time, and the non-biological Precambrian samples, in other words, non-fossil material, shows percent modern carbon is quite low, 0.1, but it's still as high as 0.1. So even it is not indicating an age as high as 95,000. Like, it's nowhere near. It's more like 0.1, which we said 0.79 was 40,000, but 0.1 must be somewhere between 40,000 and 90,000. So it's, but these results, of course, are not accounting for the fact that at the time of a catastrophic event like the global deluge, the amount of carbon in the air can be changing radically, right? And there could be very little carbon prior to the deluge, and then suddenly the amount of radiocarbon after the deluge can greatly increase because the cosmic rays can be greatly increased depending on the atmospheric conditions, you know, that were caused by the deluge after all the water came down. So the carbon-14 to carbon ratio here for all these fossils, things that did have carbon or plant life or some kind of life in them that were biological, in other words, they showed between 0.1 and 0.6 or between 0.1 and 0.7 or 0.05 and 0.65, all of those had in more carbon, in other words, than the 90,000 also. They were, and almost as much as the 45,000, which would be 0.79. Or the 40,000 that we just showed. So none of these are old. In other words, there are no fossils that have been found that are anywhere close to being as old as conventional science claims in the millions of years. There's nothing found like that, nothing at all like that. So they are forced by what they believe. Their beliefs force them to come up with some other theory, whereas someone who's not, in other words, they use the age of the rocks to determine instead of the radiocarbon. But we know that the, we've already shown, we talked about this yesterday, that the age of the rocks is not reliable. It doesn't work on rocks that are very recent, such as from Mount St. Helens. Those rocks are only decades old, and yet they test as millions of years, many millions of years old, like, you know, 2.8 million years old or something large. It's like ridiculously much larger. So we can't trust the rock ages based on what we know about modern rocks, and they only use rocks that are like that, volcanic or igneous, to do that kind of testing. They don't use the kind of rocks that might be involved with the fossils to do that testing anyway. So they'd have to find fossils that were in an igneous rock in order to do that. There are a lot of things to be studied with regard to the global deluge. Once you believe there was a deluge, then you start to, you know, try and piece it together. And you can see that the radiocarbon is not as big a problem as the problem with the age of rocks. Like, the age of rocks is just, it's the method that's unreliable with testing the rocks. The radiocarbon method might be just fine, except that we don't know how old the rocks are. So, I mean, we don't know how old the... That's not what I meant to say. Yeah, well, that's true, though. We don't know how old the rocks are. But what I meant to say is we don't know how much radiocarbon there was initially. That's why we can't really understand it, unless we do what we did with Mr. Whitelaw, like we just did. Then we were able to correct it using a correction of some kind, you know, to account for the fact that the radiocarbon before the deluge was different from what it was after. And how do we know any of this? The answer is we don't really know any of it. So, but it's different for us because we're forced to come up with explanations for why the rocks don't test properly. Whereas the conventional or the long old Earth, the old Earth people who believe the Earth is very old, those scientists, they have to find reasons why the radiocarbon is higher than it should be, like, because they call it contamination. But I mean, that seems, there's no reason why there would be contamination. This is carbon that's in the fossil itself. It's not a surface type, you know, contamination that you could explain in any reasonable way. So, but on the other hand, we have the similar problem. We have to account for why the rock tests don't work. You know, why is the half-life of uranium much? One theory is it's during the time of the deluge, these things decayed much more rapidly, the uranium did, or something like that. But that doesn't explain it either, because Mount St. Helens. That's it for today's study. It's August 17th, 2024. Of the Common Era. The time is 18:01 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I love you very much. I'm Ward Green. Thank you for listening and watching. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie, saying bye for now. That was Trojan War, paragraph 5 and 6, somewhere in that range.